entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yeah, Wake Up Hollywood, Eddie. You know what movie
stupid
came?
Rooster.
You know what movie where's came out tonight? No.
Vader.
You know, well, Star Wars.
This is the big DVD release, today.
Dude. Today, DVDs. Who really watches those anyways?
Blu-rays,
man. Come on, you're watching Star Wars. Did you get it yet?
I had it on iTunes. I got the digital copy on April 1st. Of course, I am. I'm not going to wait 4 days for it to come out on a
you're
disc.
You're like silly fools.
Idiots.
God.
Morons.
You don't know what you... So how many times have you watched it since it's come out?
I just watched the extra deleted scenes and stuff.
Oh, was there anything that should have been in there?
There was one cool part where Kylo Ren goes into... You know what? When the Land Falcon sort of crashed on the Starkiller base and they're all in the... There's a scene where the Stormtroopers and Kylo Ren go into the Millennium Falcon. And you see Kylo Ren walking around the Millennium Falcon.
Oh.
And he's kind of looking in the cockpit, which is kind of a... cool moment, realizing that he probably grew up in that ship as a kid. And he's kind of looking around and like, they should have left that in. That was kind of a cool connection to his past.
You ever wonder why they take that? Like, sometimes you can really see why a scene is deleted.
Yeah, you can see where stuff stops the flow of a movie. But I think when stuff like that adds to a movie, I don't know why,
you're like, why
scenes like that get cut out. But
probably for the time, you know, like you got other executives going, you know, this is 45 seconds too long. It's really got to
I mean, it was like a 2-hour and 18-minute movie. It could have been 2 hours. You could have added 10 minutes to that movie and no one would have cared.
Right. No, that's true.
It's not like Batman vs. Superman where you're like, fuck, it doesn't need to be this long. This could have been 20 minutes.
Or exist.
Not
it actually wasn't that bad. You said it wasn't that bad last time.
I didn't hate it, but that's not a great movie review. You don't want
to
go to...
You should be the cynical
movie guy.
You don't
want to pay $18, go to a movie, go, oh, I didn't hate it.
Well, yeah. But you know what? It's Star Wars. That movie definitely was exciting to watch.
That was good. It hit all the right notes and, you know...
Was it as good the second time? That's what I'm worried about. You've seen it probably
three
times.
Yeah, I mean, I've got issues with my movies, with every movie, but... I mean, there's no perfect movie, but...
Well, the original Star Wars is pretty perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, what?
I'm just saying,
what?
Like, you can pick
what?
Any movie. You can pick any. Don't search for a soundbite.
I'm not.
You're searching.
I'm not.
I see you searching.
No, I know. I'm just getting it ready for, you know.
For what?
For the right time.
You can pick any movie apart.
Well, but there's movies that are done right.
But like, there's movies I enjoy.
Like,
I enjoy
okay, when I see The Departed, when it comes on, I have to watch it.
No, that movie annoys me.
What? Why?
Because at the end, why does Matt Damon take... DiCaprio, was it? No, it's not Damon. It's DiCaprio and
Mark Wahlberg.
Like, no, wait. They go up to the roof.
Oh, wait,
Damon.
That's Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah. Why? Just go to the police station.
Well, yeah.
Why take him up to the roof?
Interesting.
It's a nonsensical move.
Well,
the move makes no
sense. You gotta have nonsensical moves.
No, but that makes no. There's no logical reason for him to go up to the rooftop.
It's significant because that's where the captain died.
Yeah, but it was...
So it's kind of like avenging
that? He should have just taken him to the police station.
Yeah, but he works in the police station.
Yeah, but he went up there to tell him, I'm going to take you... Like, it wasn't a logical move.
But you can't go to the police station when the guy works at the police... And he's in charge
But he was going to turn him in.
Turn him in, but he's in charge of the very
just
thing...
Just go turn him in! Like, why? Let's go up the rooftop so I can tell you I'm going to turn you in. Now we're going to go and get turned in.
Well, he called the other guy that was in the academy with him.
It was a completely illogical move. And at that, I enjoyed the movie up to that point, and then it just all fell apart.
And then you're like, oh, God!
It all fell apart, because it made no sense.
That's one of my favorite Scorsese movies. I love that movie.
It made no sense up to that.
All right.
I liked it up to that point, and then it made no sense.
Okay. I feel your pain. What about Shawshank Redemption?
That's a perfect movie.
That is a perfect movie.
That's
another one.
It's close to a perfect movie.
That when I watch it, anywhere, if it just is on, I sit and watch the whole thing. It's just so well done. That was written by Stephen King. Did you know that?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I just found that out.
They're not all clowns and scary movies.
Well, I know that, but I mean, you know. How was your week?
It's all right.
That's it? Star Wars is coming out, and you just had an okay week.
I didn't do anything.
You didn't do anything on the weekend? No Poppy adventures like last week?
No Poppy adventures. What I liked it.
You should have had like a you choose what you want to do on the weekend since Tracy took you to the Poppy Fields.
I don't do anything anymore. What'd you do? Did you just see
anything? I actually went. I saw some music.
You always
see it. You know, I have to always keep my finger on the pulse, see what's out there. I saw a band, a younger band called White Denim. They're like a funky, like kind of like a jam band a little bit, but they're a little bit more funky. And they're all right. You know, they didn't blow my mind or anything. But then I saw Elvis Costello on Sunday. But the coolest part about seeing Elvis Costello was actually the theater that I saw him in.
What theater?
It's called the Ace Hotel. Have you ever been in here?
No, where is it at?
Dude, it is insane. It used to be a theater that was converted into a church. And then converted back to a theater. So it's got this...
Like a movie theater?
No, like a vaudeville theater.
Oh, like
theater,
a stage?
I think, you know? So the interior of this theater is insanely ornate. All with like this old school architecture. It almost looks like a cathedral in Spain. So you walk in, you're like, oh my God. And then you see like a concert or a comedy show. There's a lot of stuff that goes through there. And what's cool is there are all these little theaters that are like coming up in LA. And they're either renovating them or they're just... like preserving them and kind of like reopening them. So I went to two. There's one that was the Telegram Ballroom, which Quincy Jones did a show. He did a show last night for his HBO special, right?
Yeah.
And then the other show was at the Ace Hotel. But man, it just blew me away. The venue was actually like more exciting than the show. Elvis Costello was good. It was good to see him for like a historical factor. But, you know, he was like, there's a lot of like these old acts that I see and I'm so excited to see. And then they don't totally deliver. I mean, he did seven encores.
They've been doing it for so long.
Yeah, but seven encores. I mean, Paul McCartney deserves seven encores.
Actually, no one deserves seven encores.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, Paul McCartney would never take seven encores.
Yeah.
But Elvis Costello took seven encores.
You don't need to do seven. And it was like, No one deserves that.
That's kind of, I was like.
I can't think of, even Pearl Jam at one point, I'm like, okay, I got to go home.
Yeah. There's a limit. I think there's a limit, you know? So. That was my one gripe about it. And he was like singing a little bit out of tune sometimes, but he has a lot of these like, you know, monumental songs like in rock and roll. And he's had like this, you know, place in rock history that's pretty cool. And he was a great storyteller. Like he'd stop a song and he'd talk about, you know, relatives or like how he got into music or like things like that. I thought that was more fascinating than some of the songs he was singing. But it was actually a pretty fun show with, you know, seeing him. Solo acoustic in a theater, and it was, you know, it was a good time.
Nice.
I didn't see any movies, though. I want to see some movies.
I haven't seen any movies.
There's a movie called Race. Have you heard of this movie about Jesse Owen?
No.
I want to see that movie. I think it's been out, and I don't know if it's done much, but that's a movie that I've been kind of wanting to see. And tonight is the final encore of The People vs. O.J. Simpson. I don't know if you've seen the show
yet. I haven't been watching it, no.
Dude, I am addicted to this show.
I heard it's pretty good.
It is... It's beyond pretty good. It is fucking awesome. Because, you know, well, you know, you lived through it too.
Yeah.
But I lived through it in the city. So, like, I actually went to the murder site, like, when it happened, like, maybe a month after, 2 months after, when there was still tape on, you know. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, because you were right there. It was, like, right here, and it was all happening. It was such a big deal, you know? So, you know, to live it and then to relive it and see all these different dynamics. Like, they really show so much backstory. Like, the change between Robert Shapiro and Johnny Cochran, how that happened. They show, you know, the backstory of the jurors. Something you don't think about, how they stayed in these hotel rooms for, like, 9 months. They couldn't watch TV. They could barely call their loved ones. And
yeah, but they only did it because, like, we got to get a book deal at the end of this.
Well, of course. Yeah. Of course.
Otherwise, you'd be like, oh, I got to go. That.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was a little insane, like, what some of the
people... It's the only reason people would stay.
But it was also cool to see the backstory of Nicole Simpson and the dynamic of her family, the dynamic between OJ and Nicole. So, like, it's insane.
Yeah.
The show is insane. You need to watch it. It's pretty awesome.
Maybe I'll check it out.
So tonight is the finale. I'm kind of sad because it's American Crime Story. So do you ever watch American Horror Story?
Nope.
So I never saw those either, and now it's making me go, like, I'm going to go start watching those. So every season, they're going to do a big crime,
So they're
going to
do American Crime Story? But,
yeah. So this was the first one. I can't remember if it's the Robert Blake case or something. There's some other big celebrity case they're going to do for the second season, but it is well done, well casted. The acting's really great. John Travolta's kind of weird in it, but...
No, he's kind of weird in real life, so...
Not kind of, but definitely.
Kind of matches up.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see that. But Anything else you want? You got a movie that you're.
Tomorrow night at El Cid in Silver Lake.
Look at this, I'm plugging your own shit.
Thanks. I was getting ready to plug it, and then I forgot because I spaced out thinking about OJ. And then you reminded me. Tomorrow night, a little film I did. He's been a guest on the show before, Dustin Jacobs. He directed it. And Jen Sturger's in it. She's been a guest on the show before, too.
That's right.
And it was a short we made. Actually, it's probably coming on a year and a half now, 2 years. Wow. About a year and a half. And. It's being screened tomorrow night, I'll say, with some other short films.
That place is cool. Have you been there before?
Yeah, I've done some shows there before. So.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, El Cid, 8 o'clock tomorrow night.
Nice.
So if anyone's local, come check it out.
Our studio audience loves it.
There'll be food and drinks. They love it. I think it's like $10 to get in. You'll see like five or six short films. It should be fun.
Nice. Nicely done. So. Right on. Well, I think our special guest has arrived. Miss Heidi Heaslett.
Hey.
How are you?
What's going on? Hi. It's been a while.
Oh, sexy radio voice.
It's been a hot minute.
Turn my sexy radio voice on because I didn't put my makeup on. So.
Oh, you're sexy without it.
My radio makeup is my voice.
I wish Eddie would wear some radio makeup. I wish Eddie would radio comb his hair.
I got a face for radio and a voice for newspaper.
So, Heidi, you were on the show. You were one of our first guests, I believe.
Wow, was I one of the first?
Yeah.
It's one of the top first 10, I think, at least.
Wow. Yeah, like for sure, for sure. We've come a long way.
In the history of the show, no one gives a shit about.
High five.
Look at that. It's a growth.
Well, you know what? Now you are, you know, coming back mm-hmm. with some more stories from the road. Some more.
You've been on the road a lot?
No, I don't know what he's saying about the road.
He's talking out of his ass right now.
The streets of LA.
Those are roads. Streets are roads, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like the 101 and the 405, that's about as far as the road.
Those are brutal roads, man. Yeah. Those are brutal.
Yeah.
Hey, there's some stories in those roads,
there
too.
There are.
All right?
Yeah.
Come on. Those are some big inroads for Hollywood. Sort of.
I don't know.
You're like, I wouldn't know.
What are you talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about.
But so, feel free, anyone listening wants to call in, talk 818-602-4929.
Yeah, I'm concerned. I mean, I put it on my Twitter. I put it on my Snapchat. So
we'll see what happens.
I don't know where those people are.
But did you put it on your Periscope?
I didn't put it on my Periscope. I didn't put it on my Instagram. I did Twitter, Snapchat, and Facebook.
What's the point of Snapchat now?
Listen, I fell down a dark hole.
But like, I'm curious because I'm in the same world you are, comedy wise, and like everyone's like, "Well, you got your Snapchat account."
I was against it. I can't even look you guys in the eyes.
But everyone, like everyone I talk to about Snapchat, is completely ashamed by Snapchat. But everyone's still on Snapchat.
It's a drug.
But it's not a drug.
Okay, but here's the thing. This is my ethical stance against it. That like, it's still there. It's like. Why are we taking photos of memories we don't want to remember? Why don't you just like...
That's what I'm saying. It's gone, right?
Yeah,
it's up and then it's gone.
You can save it. You have the option to save
What's
it.
What's the fucking point of that?
I know.
Like, it wasn't originally like for like high school kids to dick pics to one another.
I didn't want to
really?
Be fighting.
Yeah, because it disappears.
I mean, I'm fighting to stay relevant at 28, and
I'm
exhausting.
41, and I'm trying to like, should I get a Snapchat account? This is so
embarrassing. I'm 37, and I'm like, not gonna get a Snapchat account.
It is so exhausting.
It's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. It's exhausting. I just like, I don't know. Like, I mean, it's so bad. Like everything is so bad, and I'm fully ashamed.
It's like
you wouldn't know that. You wouldn't know that I'm fully ashamed because. You see me on the internet being like, hey, why don't you tune in? And like, so excited. And like, really, after the fucking seconds end, I'm just like, not slitting my wrist.
But
like, funny. But like,
I feel that. I feel that. Yeah. Well, but like, I understand Facebook. I understand Instagram. I understand Twitter because there's a search hit. There's a history there.
Yeah.
And you can kind of watch, see everything, and you can go back and repost. And like, but Snapchat, like, I first saw Snapchat, like, 3 years ago or 2 years ago when my 14-year-old cousin had it.
Exactly.
And they were in high school, and it's just so they could send dirty shit to each other, and then it disappears so they can't – it doesn't get stuck on the internet forever. And that's what it was for.
I know.
It was like a perverted thing.
And Twitter was for news, but now we use it for gossip, so it's just like this ever-evolving sadness.
But I don't understand.
I'm not a big fan.
I just don't understand Snapchat because it's gone. It's not –
Well, it's like Vine. Vine's like, what, 6 seconds?
Yeah, but it's still there.
Yeah, but nobody cares about Vine.
No one cares about Vine anymore.
And that's what I tried to tell everyone a year ago, but they were like, she's just bitter. And I'm like, And I'm like, I'm not bitter. I have a lot of followers on Vine, but it's irrelevant, and I can see it being irrelevant.
Yeah, because I remember last time you were on the show, you were pretty were like, big on the Vine.
So you're a big, and I'm like, it doesn't matter. And
she's like, huge on the Vine.
People are like, it does matter. And I was like, no, it doesn't. I promise you, from like someone who's grounded and rooted in art, it doesn't matter. Oh. And I'm not saying it doesn't matter for everyone, because there's probably a group of 15 people that it's totally changed their lives. And I could have been one of those 15 people, but I'm not.
Well, last fall I needed some money. So I did PA work on a YouTube at one of those YouTube studios. Mm-hmm. I won't say the name, but it rhymes with Maker Studios. Yeah. I did PA there, and like they just do YouTube stuff. I mean, it's just a YouTube studio.
I've been to the YouTube studio. Yeah.
And I worked on something that cost, it was a $500,000 budget.
Jeepers.
And for I'm YouTube proud of videos. You for not hanging yourself afterwards.
It was a tough week. It was a tough week.
Because I was supposed to, I also have this like specialty in caring for celebrity client. Like when I decided I wasn't going to be an actress, I went into production, and I had this special talent for charming client. And it was like, you know, like either like the client side or like big actual real celebrities like George Clooney or whatever. And then someone called me last week, and it's a producer I respect, but he was like, listen, we have some YouTube talent. And I was like, no, I can't do it. Like, my soul cannot do it. Like, I can't. He's like, we just want to make them feel special. I'm like, that's the last thing. No,
they already feel special.
The last thing YouTube talent needs is to feel special.
Their egos are already overblown.
Like, it's insane. I can't.
Like I was working,
I can't do it.
I was working there, and there was I was one of the PAs standing around, and we were waiting for the YouTube talent to show up. And I use humongous quotation marks when I say talent,
right?
And they're late. I watched one of them take for 20 minutes. We all sat there and watched her in her dressing room take selfies of herself until she found the perfect one, and finally then post it. Like 20 minutes of just snapping selfies.
Really? Well, I've taken 20-minute photo sessions of myself. Heidi! But not when production's waiting. I mean, like when I'm waiting for production.
Holding
like,
up production
like,
for
like
it.
I would never stop production, but I would do it while production is held up. And that's the difference between people you should hire like myself. No, I'm just kidding. I just start plugging myself. I'm like, oh, if you bash other people, is that a plug? No, get me out of this terrible bashing world, because it'll go on forever. But it's just, in my eyes, it's not bashing. It's just honesty. What were we talking about? I
don't know. It started with Snapchat. We fell down the hole of Snapchat.
That's what
Snapchat.
I'm saying.
And no, so, but all that stuff, social media, it's exhausting. And like people don't realize, like, for artists, that shit is bullshit. It's like, I don't care about it. I'm trying to limit the posts that I just don't care about. It's like
artists don't care about it, but the people that wear the suits and control the money and can give you work care
about
it.
It'll change.
Well, like even you were like, can you do this thing tonight? And it's like a regular person would like to be like, oh, let me like prepare myself for this thing. But you're like, okay, I have to send this email, and then this clip has to end up loading, and then I have to post this Snapchat about this place that I'm at, and what's the number again? And oh my God, let me put it on Facebook, and then I guess I'll just save this video from Snapchat and then post it to my Twitter, and oh my God, I'm going to be late. Oh God. So yeah, it's exhausting for artists.
And it shouldn't be that way. But you know what? I love that you just jumped on it. You're like, let's do this. That's the way it should be. That's the artist's mind. It's like, hey, I'm in this mode. Okay, I'm shifting gears. Let's just create. Yeah. Let's improvise. That's where live art is. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, that's where it's at. But I agree. Yeah. I've had publicists, too, that are like, we need this for your Twitter numbers. We need this for your... These are our goals for social media. It's like, go fuck yourselves. I cannot stand any of the social media.
Yeah, but that's
bullshit.
All they give a fuck about.
What I really love about social media, I'll tell you what I really love. Friends from high school, or like friends from college, or relatives that I never see across the world, I get to see their baby pictures. I get to see their lives from a, you know, like a, just a quick peek, and just get an update. If somebody's going through something, somebody's lost a relative, somebody that I care about, I get to see all that. Yeah, and then I also get to see like all the other nonsense.
It's so funny that like you're genuine about what you
want
to see.
No, I like it because that's I do care about people. There's a lot of people I do care about, you know.
Like the very like those are all the things I don't want to see, and he's like, I love your baby photos.
Well, I just love all the baby photos.
I just follow porn stars.
Terrible time.
No, there's some friends of mine from high school that I never probably keep in contact with. Other than that, and it's like there are things that I've been able to find contacts or make new ones, or, you know, whatever it is. So yeah, there are connections to be made on social media.
There are. A lot of it's
bloated. I mean, a lot of it's just, you know, some of it's just like little bots that are just, you know.
Yeah, but they don't care. All they see that little number, like 500,000 followers on your profile page, and that's all they care about, because they think it's going to reach 500,000 engaged people, which it's not.
Nope. Which it's not.
It reaches 100 engaged people.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, anyways, let's talk about
anyways,
you, Heidi.
Anyways, I've never been engaged. Anyways, I've had zero engagements.
That'll probably change after this interview. No, you never
not
know.
Not if I have anything to do with it.
So you've been doing some stand-up?
I have. It's been making me really happy.
That's awesome.
Wow, that's odd.
So weird.
That's strange.
I know.
That's the opposite effect it should have.
I know. And I'm aware of that, so obviously I'm in balance.
But very perverted view of what happy is.
Yeah, but it has been making me really happy. And not because I'm playing for big audiences, but because, and I guess maybe this is a difference, it's been making me happy because I guess I like
to... Give you something to Snapchat about.
Well, no, I like to give my opinion, but the way my face is set up, Hollywood likes to make me have no opinion. Like, it's like...
Explain that.
I mean, like, realistically...
Let's get real.
Realistically, I'm cast for, like, a cute girl number one. You know what I'm saying?
And last time I remember you said you were better than number two. Mistress number two in, like, consecutive
right,
shows.
So I've moved up to cute girl number one.
Good for you.
And you're
going to name one of these days.
Yeah, exactly. And so stand-up has kind of given me, like, an outlet. And obviously, like, no one's paying me big money for my opinion, so maybe I should be aware of that. But it's given me an outlet to, like, have, like, a my point of view besides just, like, girl. So it makes me...
Besides cute girl.
It gives you a chance to play against type.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're just like venting up there. You're just like...
Yeah,
let me tell you the kind of auditions I just went through this week.
No, I'm not really talking about my auditions because I don't get a lot of those. So
I know that feeling too.
So I'm not really talking about that. I'm just talking about general opinion on my life and other people's lives because clearly I know how I should run theirs. So, I'm a regular Ted Cruz up on the stage. You know what I'm saying?
Live how I live.
Yeah.
Live do how I do. I live. Yeah. Do as I do.
Do as I say, not as I do. That's how it goes? Do as I say, not as I do.
What's your favorite club in L.A. to perform at?
You know, this is... my favorite club is the J Spot in Inglewood.
Where's that?
I've never done that. How is that?
It is.
It's an urban room, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
They give me the most time to do stand-up, so I really like them. They're very honest. The crowd's there. I've had bad sets there. I've had great sets there. And I usually agree with them. Like, there'll be times where, like I did a joke at Nerdist that I think is fucking hilarious. But they didn't laugh.
But what works at Nerdist works nowhere else in the world.
Right. But it's like, I was just like, you guys don't get that joke because you're a bunch of fucking nerds. And that's cool. Like, you can be that. But, like, I don't think you're being honest. And, like, I like the J-Spot because I think they're honest. And
it's probably more real people there than Nerdist.
Yeah. But I love Nerdist. Like, another one of my favorite shows to do at Nerdist is the Historical Roast.
Yeah.
And, like, that's one of my favorite shows. So it's not entirely against Nerdist.
Nerdist is its bubble. It's a bubble in and of itself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're talking about the Nerdist panel, like, that's on Hollywood Sunset?
It's Nerd Melt there on Sunset
Nerd Melt on Sunset, yeah.
The whole Nerdist culture, it's a bubble in and of itself.
It's a bunch of comedy writers, right? Like writers for TV.
No, it's just a bunch of, you know, it's a certain type of comedian, and like they exist in this bubble, and usually what works there doesn't work in other places. It's very strange. It's very strange.
So I love that. I mean, I love the Comedy Store Belly Room. I mean, like, I love all the bar shows that you guys should book me on. Like, I mean, I just like it. I mean, I even, when I first went back, like, my favorite open mic is Marty's. Like, and it's so depressing. And
right there on a...
Yeah, whatever it is, across from Urban Ramen on Sunset, next to the Ralphs.
I went to Marty's just because I heard about it one time. I just had to see it.
Oh, man, it's so depressing. But
it's an experience.
I've grown to love it.
Like, why? Tell me.
Because there's not the pressure of, here's a joke, and here's a joke, and here's a joke. It's like, you can talk. I mean, you can, if you, I personally think if you're doing it the right way, you can talk enough and slide your jokes in and then grow them. But if you're going there to, like, do a set, then, like, yeah, you're going to hate it. And if you're going there to, like, bitch about your day, you're going to hate it. But if you're going there to, like, get a thought out and try to
grow
it.
Explore an idea.
Yeah, explore into an idea. I think it's actually really welcoming. And I think that it takes some time. And I hated it at first, but, like, I don't know. I hated juicing at first, and now I have a smoothie. So a smoothie maker, a blender. Is that juicing. So? It's like I don't know. I don't know what's growth and what.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Desperate.
I'm sure a lot of people don't know this. What's the difference in time between the J Spot, the Comedy Store, and Marty's? Like, what are the kind of sets that you guys get?
Well, Marty's, you pay $5 for 5 minutes. You might get a little more. And because that's an open mic, and like that's no different from any open mic in LA. Like it's either like buy a drink. Some open mics are free, but they're lotteries. The belly room would be depending on the show that I did. Like I just did the Comedy Rap Battle, which is another awesome show.
You do that a lot, right?
I love the Comedy Rap Battle. I've always loved it.
I always see your name on the flyer whenever they post it.
No,
right?
I just did it for the first I thought you... time. I love the Comedy Rap Battle. Maybe they've retweeted me because I've been a big fan. But they finally asked me to do it.
Nice.
And I made it to the finalist. So that was really cool. And they want me to come, and they want me to come back. So I'm going to do it again. So that's like a, I think it was a 5 minute set. And then we did freestyle rapping against a comic. So like that time varies. And like, but the J Spot just in straight time, they'll give me like 10 minutes. Like, I've done a 15-minute set at the J-Spot. I've never done 15 minutes anywhere else besides the J-Spot.
Well, it's hard in town to do more than 10 or 15 minutes. It's
yeah, exactly.
What's crazy to me about
that, I love the
J-Spot. And we've talked about this, Eddie. It's like, for musicians to get 10 minutes, I mean, it's like you're not even in the groove of, like, your set.
Exactly.
And, like, for a comedian, I can't imagine that that's the norm. You're not even warmed up, and then by the time you're just warm, you're done.
You get, I mean, Normantown is like 7-10 minutes, yeah, something like that. If you're regular, like the Comedy Store, you'll get a 15-minute spot, but usually it's 7 to 10 minutes.
Right, and that's then crazy. Like if you have some if you're some crazy person, then maybe you'll get 25 minutes.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. If you're, you know.
Yeah, but it's weird. So it's all these short little minutes.
And it's hard when you finally do get road gigs because you have to fill 30, 45 minutes. You're not used to, your comedy is set up in chunks of 5 and 7 mm-hmm. minute sets.
Right.
So it's hard to string a through line mm-hmm. and take the audience on a 30 minute or a 45 minute journey with mm-hmm. a beginning, middle, and end. It's hard to create that in 5 minute chunks.
Yeah.
So it's a huge shock.
You have to truncate everything.
It's a huge shock to a comic when they have to finally get on the road and they're like, oh, wow, I got 30 minutes.
And that's just like Vine Stars having 6 seconds.
Exactly.
And they have to get up and do a 5 minute set and they eat a fucking dick.
They should.
And it's like, because, oh, really? Because you thought that you did.
Oh, you don't have the magic of editing to make your punchline work here?
It's like, oh, poor baby.
Oh, you can't just cut to some music right now?
Oh, it's getting dark in here. I like it.
Oh, my God. I didn't even mean to get it
together. No, I agree with you on that. It's like the YouTube stars and the Vine stars, you have the magic of editing, which is a huge tool for timing in comedy.
Right.
And you can make almost any joke kind of work if you can time it right and cut on it and edit it. But like in comedy, you're up. You say the joke and you're still standing there.
Yeah.
And if it's not funny, no one's laughing.
Right.
There's no cut to like some funny music or a weird, like it just.
Except for my joke at Nerdist, it was hilarious. And they didn't
laugh at it. That's Nerdist.
Well, Heidi, we talked to you a long time ago about your influences, but who are some of your biggest influences as comedians?
Some of my biggest influences as comedians would be like, I mean, I rewatched Eddie Murphy, Raw and Delirious. And
those are classics.
So many times. So like.
I love watching like Eddie Murphy Raw or Sam Kinison from the 80s because
they're so like, good.
It's so homophobic.
Right.
And so like, I can't believe gay people gave us AIDS. It's just so like set in that time period of the 80s. You're like, fuck, this would never work right now.
But I love also another one that I can rewatch is Patrice O'Neill, Elephant in the Room.
Yeah, like, Patrice O'Neill's great.
Oh my God, so good.
I've never seen that one.
Oh my God, it's so fucking good, man. Like, I feel like that was just like such a solid fucking special. And I mean, I can watch it with my grandma and she cracks up. Like,
that's awesome.
And I think that's just the ability of honesty. Like, the ability of honesty? Is that even a fucking thing?
It is now.
It is now.
This the is ability. Why I'll never be a star. We'll snap, say some bullshit?
We'll Snapchat it and it'll disappear. It'll disappear
on Snapchat.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So, Patrice O'Neill, like those guys, I mean, like.
He passed away, what, 2 years ago?
That's longer than that, I think.
I want to say like four.
It's like four or five, something like that. It's like 2011, 2010, something like that.
Yeah. I always wish like Eddie Murphy would do another thing to stand up.
But I don't. Never You've be, been out of it too long. He lives in a different world now. It wouldn't. It
sucks though, because he was so good.
Yeah, but weren't you just talking about Elvis Costello? How you were like, it's like, oh, I went to go see him, and then I was like, stop.
2 weeks ago, I saw David Gilmour, and he was bitching from Pink Floyd, you know? So it just if depends. You're good, you're good.
Yeah, but David Gilmour has been doing it.
But he hasn't. He hasn't toured like
as a musician. Yeah, but he's picked up a guitar,
right? Yes,
and he's sung a song by himself.
True.
I mean,
that's true.
Eddie Murphy hasn't talked into a microphone and told jokes
in a
room full
time.
Of people.
Maybe in like 20 years,
in two or three decades, probably since the '80s. So
that's crazy.
You can't just pick it up and it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, but I could see Steve Martin doing a set and just killing.
I mean, Seinfeld killed, like, what was it, a few weeks ago at the Comedy Store? Yeah,
but he's done, been doing it. I mean, you ever see you saw the documentary Comedian? I mean, when he tried to, like scrap all his material and just start from scratch, how rough it was for him?
It was bad.
It's like that for any comic.
Yeah.
And I was expecting that movie to be a lot funnier, but it was actually cool that it was so vulnerable. You know, just, like, showed you, like, the life and trying to build, you know.
Man, I'm so glad some stuff. That's why I love Marty's. Is like I love that some of the stuff I've said at Marty's will never see the light of day. I do.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the real beauty of art, is that it doesn't all make the album. Yeah. Like, I think that that's the awesome thing of growing as a human and as a person, is you go, I'm going to keep this. This is valuable. Oh, wow, I learned something here. But like, when you're just doing it all for the camera and all for, look how perfect. It's like, I think you lose a lot. Like, and I'll just always think that. I don't care how we change as technology. I just think that in the human sense, some shit you say isn't great. And it's okay to know that.
That's an interesting perspective. That's real. It's like, throw the shit up
on
the wall.
Yeah, be real. You know what I'm saying? Whoever's listening right now, just know you're calling into a real motherfucker.
Like, comedians, like, I mean, I've learned with Eddie, just like, you're...
Oh, we have a call.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God, there we go.
Somebody's calling in. Who is it?
I don't know. Hello?
Hello there.
Hey, what's going on?
All right. Hey, I'm the mystery guest for tonight.
All right.
Oh, hey, mystery guest. Welcome to Wake Up Hollywood.
Yeah, mystery guest. I'd like to talk to Heidi if she's there.
Yeah, she's here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey. Just thought I'd give you a call. I'm going to have to let you guess who it is.
I obviously know it's my father.
Is this Heidi's dad?
Yes, it is.
Oh, that's awesome. She seems perturbed.
Figured it out. Well, we're just testing. I got this new phone. It has a new application. If you plug in the person's name, it'll tell you exactly where they're at and what phone number. So I thought I'd try it.
That sounds creepy. Sounds like a creepy app to have.
Yeah. So how you doing, Heidi?
I'm good. How are you?
Right on.
Can you give us a funny anecdote that Heidi has been, you know, that hiding from us on this in this interview?
Well, she's already got a good sense of humor, and that's what keeps her going, her sense of humor. But that's true for everybody, but she has a great sense of humor, and along with the natural beauty, it makes it a good pair.
Well, we see success in the road ahead for her. We appreciate you calling and giving her your support. That's for sure.
Right on.
Thanks so much.
Heidi.
Okay. Call me sometime, on a radio show.
Try that application. It might work for you. All right.
Let's try it.
Bye.
How was that?
That was, I'm glad to know he exists in the world.
Oh.
Oh, it's one of those phone calls. This is awkward.
Awesome.
Cool.
So weird right now. So weird. Woo! Right now.
I wish we could cut to commercial, but we don't have any.
Right.
Spots. Oh, we could play a YouTube clip of Heidi's.
Why don't we play a YouTube clip of Heidi's? That's this is we'll her do. Doing some stand-up.
We'll play some stand-up comedy. Here we go. I think that was it. No. Okay. Hold on. Oh, there we go.
We're just improvising on the fly.
Here we go. Let me just wait 1 second.
Wait for it.
Just wait for it. Do, 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 do,
Wow, hello. This is great. The token experience, very digital. Yes, very excited about digital. The future. I'm super jealous that girl has never gotten like pulled over a ticket, but we'll get back to that. You guys, big, look at your phone a lot? I look at my phone a lot, like a lot. Sometimes I look at it so much, I look up and I'm like, oh my God, I'm at the grocery store already? That is so crazy. You're so fast, but. I've lost a little weight, guys. I've lost 10 pounds. Like three times now. Like three times. I knocked it out. So it's dope. Like 10 pounds away from everyone wanting to fuck me again. So I'm like really excited for that. So here's the deal. You can get a DUI off of two glasses of champagne. Okay. Thank you, sir. So here's the deal. This is the deal. It happened to me, okay? And I just want to let you know, I was a little bitch in jail, okay? Like, I was, okay? We're just going to get it out of the way because she talked about the ticket. So, but here's the thing. This is the funniest part, and then we'll move on. The guy's fingerprinting me, right? And I look at him, and I'm like, did I just ruin my life? Like, is my life ruined? Like, just let me know right now. Like, it's over for me, right? And he would swear to God, hand on my hand, taking my fingerprints, goes, no. I took a girl out last week that had two DUIs. I was like, bro, I didn't ask you if you had a bad girl complex, okay? Like, I didn't ask if my dating life was over. Like, I'm talking real life, okay? Anyways, I'm out, so we're good. But I'm an independent woman. I'm an independent woman. Yeah, so, like, my girlfriends, like, they come to me, they're like, my boyfriend made me cry. And I'm like, well, I don't have to tell you, like, I make myself cry on my own. Like, I don't know why you need a man to help you cry. Like, I take myself for granted, girl. Like, but, like, my problem is, like, here's the deal. I'm aggressive, right? Like, I'm a little too aggressive, and I'm working on it. Like, I'm aggressive to the point where it doesn't benefit me. Like, a dude will come up to me, and he'll be like, excuse me, you are so beautiful. And I'll be like, man, I've been saying that. White House. Like, it's exactly. I'm glad you fucking understand. It's serious. FBI, everyone's concerned about the FBI and our phones, right? Like the leak, right? Big deal. Apple's like, the thing is my thing. I'm like, okay, two things. Apple's acting real suspicious. Like, they're acting like a boyfriend that you caught cheating on you. They're like, what? We would never, with the FBI? We would never do that to you. Absolutely not. And it's like, here's the guy, like, the FBI already has all your shit. Sorry, because you gave it to them. Like, you posted on Twitter and Facebook and Snapchat and Instagram. Like, what are we worried about? That, like, they're gonna take our iTunes playlist? Like, they got it, guys. Like, it's over for us, okay? Like, it's everything's out there. Oh, why are we still making humans? We don't even have water. Like, that's like the number one thing you need for humans. Like, have you ever been invited to a party and your friend's like, get here, it's popping. And you get there and there's like no food, no bitches, no nothing, no. And you're like, why did you? And they're like, oh, that's the conversation that parents are going to have with this next generation of children. They're going to be like, why did you invite me to Earth? And then we're going to be like, I'm sorry, I thought we were going to go to Water Run. That's so my bad. Earth is not popping anymore. But, like, you get to an age as a female where it's like, are you going to have kids? And I'm like, I can't get to a third date. So, like, probably. But if I would, like, if I were to have kids, like, I would probably adopt. Like, you know, I'm still trying to lose my own baby weight, so, like, I can't do that with somebody else. someone die in here? That's an abortion joke. Don't worry, I don't keep any of my abortion jokes. It's okay. Don't worry, you know, it's fine. Okay, so dating in Los Angeles is hard. It's hard, but like I tell my girlfriends, I'm like, girl, listen, I know it's hard, but you just gotta stay up. And she's like, you're right, if I keep my head up, the right dude will come along. And I'm like, no, bitch. I said stay up. Like somewhere around 2:45 a.m. Because that's like when the dude you like, well, the girl that he's hitting on at the club is going to get her own cab ride home. And then he'll hit you with a text, what are you doing? And that's your bracket. You know, you're a 2:45 a.m. bitch. Now, listen. If you do well and you show up to your bracket, you can get moved up to midnight. You know, like, and there's nothing wrong with a midnight bitch. Cinderella was a midnight bitch. Playoffs. Keep working at it. It's not your ring season, honey. All right. Well, like, I gotta go. Like, so much more I wanted to talk to you about, but I really like you guys. Thanks for accepting my DUI. I was real hesitant about that.
Yeah.
Oh, good stuff.
Good stuff.
Yeah,
indeed.
That was a fun night.
So you said it was at the Acme Theater.
Mm-hmm. Right. The Acme Theater.
That's a cool space.
It is. Yeah. It's like just a big enough stage that like you can enjoy yourself. That's a challenge.
That's kind of a staple of LA, like a hidden gem too, right? Because it's been there for a while.
They moved.
Like 10, 15 years.
They're not there. Like that, they're still there, but they're also now they're back in the Valley too, I think.
They have a couple. Yeah. I think they have two or maybe three.
I like that. I've always liked that space.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice indeed. So what's your process? Like, what's like your favorite way to create stand-up material? Is it observational? Is it autobiographical? Is it...
Steal it. How do you do it?
Stealing is super popular these days.
How do you do it? How do you steal it so well?
I guess it's observational and autobiographical. I mean, I've been a fan of stand-up longer than I've done stand-up.
Right.
And I would always go hang out in the comedy clubs, and I would be like, no, I'm not a comic. I'm an actress. Those comics work so hard. I don't do that.
So that's so weird because the first time I was ever in a comedy club, I performed.
Really?
Like, I'd never been in a comedy club until I... Before.
Oh, wow. How interesting.
So, I would always watch stand-up as a kid, but I'd never been to the live performance.
Yeah. And so, the first time you went, you were booked.
Yeah.
Wow. That must have been crazy.
Well, how did you get booked if you've never been in a comedy club?
Because you just know people.
You know people. Like, oh, I can bring 10 people.
Yeah.
I can get on this show. Like, when I first came, it was like 97. Like, yeah, I can bring 5 people. And then you get 5 minutes or 10 minutes.
Stand-up is different now. It's even different. Like, I guess it was maybe 4 or 5 years ago that I did stand-up, like, on shows, like, once a month for a year. You can't even do that anymore.
No.
Like it was like I went to the open mic at Laugh Factory and somebody saw me, and then even though I cursed and they cut me off and kicked me off stage, someone was like, you should go do the show. It's so saturated now that it's like my friends that stuck with it are successful, and most of my friends are successful.
It's hard to do.
I am too. But.
You used to perform and then you get more spots off performing in one show. You get booked in 3 other shows.
And it's not.
But now it's not like that. Like, you have like to keep emailing people and going to the show and like, okay, I get a spot in 3 months.
And some people like emails and some people don't. And
some people want to see a tape. I'm like, fucker, I've been doing this for 15 years.
Yeah,
I'm not sending you a tape to do a bar show.
Right.
Yeah.
And so,
well, there's such a hierarchy with all that shit. I cannot stand it. I feel like bookers, you have to have a certain personality, because I go through it with music all the time.
Yeah, but most of the bookers are just other comics.
Right.
That book these shows.
Yeah. Now, I know, but I mean, there's still a thing. Yeah. There's still this like filter that they feel like, I don't know if it's like a superpower responsibility that they feel they have, but man, most of the bookers I know, they don't really know music. They don't really play. They don't really do it. So it's like, how are you going to know good from great? How are you going to know shitty from good? How are you going to know terrible from, oh my God, I can't believe you just booked that?
I'd honestly rather have a booker that's not doing it.
You know, right. You say that. You say that. But, man, it's difficult. I've had both. I've had musicians that booked, and then I've had people that just don't do it. What you really want is somebody that's kind of established that just sees – that has, like, the eye. Like, you can see, mm-hmm. like, their lineups are the shit every time. Like, they don't have one bad, you know – performer. Yeah, but
from my experience, if you have a booker that's not a performer, and they just go, and if you're up on stage and people are laughing, they're like, oh, he's good.
Right.
But if you have a booker who's a performer, then they have their own tastes and they have their own cliques, and then like it doesn't, you can be up there killing and like, yeah, but yeah, I don't like that style.
Right.
Right.
So they don't look at it with the eye of like, everyone here's enjoying themselves, he must be good. It's more like, I don't like
that's
that
true.
Joke.
That's
right.
Very
or
true.
Like, I don't know if he can sit at our table.
Yeah.
Like I've experienced that. Like there's been girls that I think I should be on their little shows that they produce. And, like, they joke about being female supportive. And I'll be like, I would love to be on one of your shows. And then it's, like, dead silence. And you're like, am I not cool enough to sit with you?
I'm not female enough? Okay. I'm not female enough to be on your show?
We can wait till I book a sitcom and then you blow my phone up. Yeah. Like, we can do it the fake way. I hear you.
Or until I start running a room you want stage time at. And then,
yeah.
Well, let's talk about what you said. You posted something about how, you know, you're like, I'm so tired of being on these all-women shows. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, like, and it's not to hate on women. It's just that, like...
It's to super hate on women.
I know, you're right. I'm like, it's not too... That's like, it's not racist, but... No, it's just that no one would open with that for anything else. Like, they would never be like, oh, man, we have an all-star Aryan lineup. Like, it's like, it's like, what?
Come
like,
see why? All the white guys of comedy.
Yeah, I can't wait to bring you to this white male comedy show. I guess, like, that's a lot of comedy shows, so they don't have to say it, but it's
I don't
like,
even understand, like, what's the point of even doing that, really?
I don't get it either. I don't think
nobody's going to be like, oh, it's an all-women comedy show? I'm there.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think it's empowering. Like, right. I think that it's like, when people are like, separate but equal, it's like, oh, you mean like segregation? You mean like what the U.S. Supreme Court voted against? Like, yeah, sounds like a great time, but let's try it with gender. Like, it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's you've seen racism, but let's show it to you
sexism.
Let's behind door
sexism
number three.
In comedy.
I guess I should have worked out these tags earlier and it would have been a shorter bit, but like, that's like.
But that's the beauty, that's the art
that's
of it.
The beauty of a podcast. But that's our talk show or radio show. Not
all the above. Same Come thing. On.
But that's so it's just kind of like, do I want to be on a female lineup? Yeah, because I want stage time. And yeah, I want to meet other female comics that are.
But it should
you know,
be like
what
you were saying
it
earlier, Eddie. It's like if you're good, you should just be on a good lineup.
Yeah,
I think it just does a disservice to the female comics.
That's what I think.
To promote it that way, just promote, hey, it's a comedy show, and come out. Oh my god, there was six funny women on that show.
Yeah. And it's like they usually always do the all female lineups like during a big sports game, and you're like, oh wow, how'd you guys figure out who was available? like I can't name like versus who and who's playing, but it's like we've got the all female lineup during the Super Bowl, and you're like, oh yeah, because everyone's at the bar show who had the Super Bowl.
I think it hurts like, the show too to promote it that way because there is. Like it or not, there is a stigma out there when someone says a female comic. Must be like, oh, okay, I don't know if women are funny.
Right.
Of course they are. Of course they are. Yeah. Of course they are. But when you say all female comics, you'll be like, okay, well, I'm not going to see a great comedy show tonight. I just think there's a stigma out there. I think it does a disservice.
I don't think
it does a disservice to the female comics.
It shouldn't be the boys' club or the girls' club. It should be the funny club because you're comedians, right?
Yeah.
Who puts this shit together?
I just think it does a disservice to female comics to do it that way because I think... Because you'll get more people to come in than like, oh my god, these women are fucking hilarious.
I'm booing
that. Yeah, and how many times do you want to hear about abortion? It's like, we get it.
Smush-mortion.
I'm just kidding. But,
you're like, that's in my next bit?
Yeah, I mean, I do have a lot of abortion bits.
Have you tried drunk abortion bits?
I haven't tried drunk abortion bits, but I have tried... drinking, and I have tried abortion.
So just have to say,
what if we combine the
put
two?
Put those together.
I mean, I was probably drinking when I got my abortion.
Wrap
no, what? Okay, wait.
Whoa, wait.
Whoa, wait.
It's getting hot, Nazi. The birth of a new bit.
Ted Cruz walks in and like stabs
What's happening?
Me. Yeah. Yeah, so all female online apps, I'm not. I mean, I'll do them, but like, I just don't. Like you said, I think it's both of you. I think it's a disservice. Yeah.
Well, where can people find you? Where are you doing shows? Where are you online?
My next show is at Mickey's in West Hollywood.
All right.
Where's Mickey's at?
It's like on Santa Monica Boulevard, where everything is in West Hollywood.
That's true. That's so true.
I would have to look up the cross street, but it's April 11th. And then I'm doing San Diego April 20th.
Where in San Diego?
You know what? I don't know. Nicole Amy Schreiber is bringing me on. She asked me if I wanted to come do a show with her in San Diego.
Yeah.
And I didn't even ask the venue. I was like, yeah! Like, that's how desperate I am for stage time right now. Well, it's like, do you want to do a show in... And I'm sure I don't even let them finish. But yeah, somewhere in San Diego April 20th. But I'm sure I'll tweet it out. And
Instagram it.
And I'm doing something on the west side, which is further than San Diego.
Feels like it.
Santa
I'd rather drive to San Diego than the west side.
Yeah, like, so get your passport stamps and come see me in Santa Monica at the end of the month. On
where,
the
west side?
No, at, I would have to look at it.
Sorry to bother you for all these locations of your show.
Details.
The room
in Santa Monica?
Wait, isn't that the one that's in the alley, or is that west side?
That's west side.
That's okay. West side. Casual Encounters at the Room.
Ooh. Oh, wait, the Room is on Wilshire, like 4th or something.
That sounds like a good place for the drunk abortion.
I know. What if I was like, oh, I'm sorry, that's my dating schedule. Female comedy.
Then your dad may show up and be like, hey, how's it going?
He will, probably. Eventually, it's like.
What's your website? Where can people find you online?
Oh, my website. I made myself, and it's HeidiIsch.com.
HeidiIsch.
So, yeah, HeidiIsch.com.
Nice.
Technically, it's actually my initials because my middle initial is S, and my last name is starts with an H.
That's clever. Actually, but, I like that.
Yeah. So.
Did you do it like that, or did you like?
I did. I like to be clever.
That's good. I like to impress myself.
I like to like have my own little like pop up video fact in my life. But yeah, it's just HeidiIsch.com, HeidiIsch.com, and that'll link you to all the places you can get sick of me on the internet.
Nice.
Don't nice. Follow me on too many. Just follow me on enough to where you still like me.
We'll always like you, Heidi. I mean, you're awesome.
Oh, so
you
sweet.
Know what's cool about you is that you really have a voice, and you're not afraid to just like let it all out and just, you know, make people laugh along the way. That's really
you're
what
very
it's
comfortable
about.
In your own skin, which
yeah,
is nice.
That's, yeah, you have more strength than most people probably ever attain.
You guys.
I'm serious. That's what we like.
Wait a second here.
See, it's getting real. We're just revving the engines. You know what I'm saying?
Men are nice.
Hey.
This is totally against the media agenda.
Gangbang.
That's Eddie.
What? What?
What?
I didn't know.
So cool.
Well, are you gonna
wait,
come back?
Are we just supposed to talk about me? Like, yeah. We don't talk about you guys?
No.
Like, no.
It's all about you.
No one gives a fuck.
It's your hour.
That's crazy.
This
I care.
It's all about Heidi.
Wow. Yeah, so that's where I'm at.
So check you out at HeidiIsch.com.
Yep.
Spell it out because people are dumb.
HeidiIsch.com. I'm the redhead Heidi on Instagram. I use my real legal name for everything. I don't have a stage name. I didn't think that through. so just Heidi Heaslet, and you can find, you know, like all my criminal records and my... I'm just kidding. I know. I mean, I'm not because I got a DUI. I got a DUI, so...
During the abortion, right?
Yeah. So,
drunk abortion.
Yeah.
Well, Heidi, you've been a wonderful guest once again.
Sweet.
You have to come back because you have an open invitation. Because
yeah, let me know when.
And you have to keep us posted on everything you're doing. Everything!
Everything.
Abortions and all. Everything.
God, I didn't even mean to bring that up. They haunt you.
Can't let it go.
That's how it works. Well, on behalf of Eddie and I, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.